Welcome to Civil Tension, conversations with contentious intent. We are civil, not polite. We are civil, not politically correct. Civil Tension is a weekly podcast intended to demonstrate that people can engage in difficult, contentious topics of conversation while remaining civil and strengthening the ties that bind, even when we profoundly disagree. Civil Tension can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Player FM, TuneIn, Listen Notes, and more. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Civil Tension, Facebook, by joining the Civil Tension podcast group, as well as on our developing Instagram account, Civil Tension, and YouTube channel. To join our mailing list, send a note to civiltension@gmail.com.
Saying what I was about to
say. Oh, really?
All two of them.
10, 12, in my line of work, it helps.
18.
Hit the record button or not?
What? Yeah, I just now did. So you can continue your conversation. I'll edit out whatever I need to. But
Or not.
Pretty much everything I say every week. It's like, dude,
who's this John guy? He's never hear him.
Cut and paste and take it a little out of context.
No, we already talked about John yet.
Is that when you were born? That's when we go back to the studio and redo it all.
And then,
I got all these T-shirts about
Are you guys sticking around for this?
16? Were you even?
Looks born like Wayne's leaving.
Was born at 16.
Are you sticking around?
I think I will. I'd like to see what happens here.
Comes the fun part.
Okay.
Can I stick around? Just
absolutely.
Certainly.
Oh, you can go on.
You can even talk if you want to.
You can talk.
Come on over.
Sit down.
Do
you have future political aspirations?
Jonathan, what's your last name?
You may not want to sit around. LLS. Like Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys.
Oh, baby.
That's a lovely reference, but not really. I don't know who that is.
Country singer. Country western singer.
A very, very famous country singer.
I'd like to hear about that.
Not that famous, apparently.
I owned Texas for 20 years.
If you're a future political aspiration, you probably don't want to stay around. Don't think this up.
No. Hey, don't scare him off, because he'll think I'm going to make him run laps.
With a 60-pound pack.
That's right.
That was a 60-pound pack.
All right. Gentlemen, because there...
We don't have ladies today.
There are no ladies today. That's... Okay, well, we had Denise earlier this morning.
Denise was here.
So she was.
We lost her for this.
We lost her for this.
That will show up on the mic. Nobody else got it.
Thanks, Don.
Well, I can edit that if I have to, but is that light
on? Take it as you will.
It is.
Is it steady or is it flashing?
It is steady.
Okay, then we're recording. We're live. All right, cool. This is going to be, it is, actually, episode 40.
40. We turned 40.
The big 4-0. We turned 40 today. Of Civil Tension. Thank you very much for hanging out and joining in on this. We are going to talk about how that guy you talked about earlier this morning, they have lost control. They've lost control. We've had some insane headlines in the news this week. We've got people taking over the streets in Portland, Oregon, to the point where they're damaging vehicles. They're taking control. I don't care how you say it. Antifa. Whatever. They decided they were in charge in Portland. And actually looking at some of these articles and watching some of the video, and actually, again, talking with John a little bit, the mayor told the police to stand down. Let them do what they're going to do. And they're damaging cars, people going through not knowing what the heck is going on, and then chasing them down, the elderly. I don't know if you guys saw the video or read the article. They chased this fellow with white hair who might have maybe 15, 20 years on me, but even though I got a lot of white here, but chased him down. He gets out of his car to see what's wrong, and they're going after him. He luckily jumps back in his car and was able to get away. These people are nuts. You don't sit in the road. Then there's another one where they're laying in. I don't know, John, if you saw this one. Mm-hmm. Another video, people laying down in the street. Again, just decided this is where we're protesting. We're going to lay in the street. And wonderfully, this fella on a motorcycle comes up. And you see him coming up the street. And he gets right up on him and just freaks them all out. Guy comes running after him and tries to grab the back of this guy's bike. And, you know, then the guy, you know, he gets away. You know, don't be blocking traffic. Don't be harassing cars. You think, for one second, I'm going to sit in my car and let you bang on it? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go away. I'm not getting out. I don't know what's on your mind. I don't know what's in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Hillary, who's literally calling for a civil war.
Can't be civil.
So saying you can't be civil to people who want to destroy what you believe in. Well, they're demonstrating that in spades, aren't they? They're not being civil to us and to what conservatives believe in. It's ridiculous. And you have Mr. Cory Booker, who is standing up saying, get in the face of Congress, people on the Republican side. Confront them. Get right in their face. And again, you have all of these leaders on
former
the other
attorney
side.
General.
Former attorney general. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We kick them when they go low. Yeah.
Yeah, we kick them when they go low. It's getting ridiculous. And to the point of all this, I mean, what the heck do you do? How do you respond? What's that line? What is the line in the sand?
Well, the first National thing you do Guard. Is you introduce everyone.
And yes, we do. That's right. Because I started reading. I haven't even told you who I am. See, I got John said, hey, look at this on Monday. Yeah. He's been poking my buttons since Monday.
Since Monday. You're getting all fired up.
Yeah.
Now, and doing what?
This is where you say thank you.
Yeah.
John's already, thank you, John. John's already pulling up all this stuff.
This is where Don's paying attention. So we're not talking about cars or weapons.
See, you guys didn't lose me this week.
No, I decided. You know, even though I did find a good sale on 380M.
Let's not even go there.
But.
Who are you?
I am. I am your host and the creator of Civil Tension, Peter Galt. And immediately to my right is co-host
John Guansey.
And we have
Don Severson.
And Dan Swieck.
And we have
Wayne Beyer.
And we have
Jonathan Wills.
Norman Weir.
Bill Hassey.
Ken Nicholson.
Awesome. Guys, thank you very, very much for joining me. Now, I will shut up. And
but we can dream.
Dream a little dream. Dream a little dream there. Yeah.
There's your open, John.
John's not dream. Ready yet. I don't see a head of steam built up yet.
No, he's going to work him up. We've got to fire him.
Okay, my question is very simple. How come we have never, ever, 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 to my
ever
view, prosecuted anybody for inciting a riot? And we have laws on the books in absolutely every place that says if you spend money compensating people for public destruction of property, you go to jail.
Yeah.
Right? We have never, ever, ever gone after the money behind Antifa in general and Antifa's escapades in Portland recently.
Yeah, Berkeley back in the day. You know.
How come we have never, ever exercised this, even though we...
Think of where these incidents have happened. Who runs the places where these incidents have happened.
Well, they tend to be pretty lefty, don't they?
There's your answer right there. If it's because they do it in areas... Portland, Oregon is probably, I wouldn't say a conservative bastion. Berkeley, when they tore up, you know, Cal Berkeley, certainly not. Baltimore, when they talked about standing down, you know.
I don't see them doing it.
Give them room to protest. You
don't see them doing it in Dallas, do we?
No, because it wouldn't fly. It wouldn't fly in a Dallas, Texas.
No, they get killed by the local mob, our mob.
Yeah, so it's that to me is the answer is that it's leftists letting leftists do what leftists do.
Well, that's how it always sounds like when you see all these riots are looting. They have my camera. Why aren't they doing anything?
Yeah, let me film this. Not try to stop it, not do anything to stop it. It's they really, I mean, they truly, and I think this is what I take out of Hillary's, is what she said, we could say exactly the same thing. We shouldn't be civil to leftists because they're trying to destroy everything we believe in, right? It's exactly what she said. But we don't do that.
Well, isn't it Karl Marx who said, accuse the other side of exactly what you are doing?
Exactly. And so it is what makes them so dangerous is they actually believe we are lesser people and it's okay to do these things. It's justified.
Morally justified.
One of the things that probably winds up being the most dangerous is this. I'm just going to read this because I don't have it memorized.
From this old document?
From this old document that a bunch of dead white guys crafted a little while back. The First Amendment states that the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The issue is not their opinions. The issue is not even their politics, although we can dispute that, and all this would be very easily settled with an actual recognition of the 10th Amendment. The issue is the fact that they are not peaceably doing this, and that what we have is we are no longer able in this country of ours to identify and call evil what it is and call something what it is. If you're not willing to call a given offshore activity radical Islam, terrorism, whatever, because you're afraid you're going to offend somebody or hurt someone's feelings, that's a problem. You're going to lose because you're not willing to address the issue at its core. Same thing domestically. If we are not willing to look at people who are taking control of public streets, who are clawing at the door of the Supreme Court, who are laying in the streets, who are doing things that are simply, again, not peaceful, that are acting damage to personal property. Mm-hmm. If you have a group of people that are acting like a mob, it smells like a mob, and it looks like a mob, then odds are it's probably a mob. And this is the issue, that these people are behaving this way. What's worse is that the Democratic leadership is not coming out and saying, wait a minute, we understand that you're upset about the way things are going, but this is not how we behave in this nation of ours. This Constitution of ours does not guarantee you the right to do that. What the Constitution guarantees you the right to is to address your grievances, again, what? Peaceably assemble. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that the Democratic leadership is not only not decrying it, they're inciting it. And the reason they're inciting it is because they've had they've run the table since Woodrow Wilson, and some couldn't make the argument since, you know, whenever. They've run the table, and now they're actually losing ground and are now seeing their plans of a leftist court go up in smoke.
They're losing it,
and now because they are spoiled, petulant, immature children intellectually and mentally, they don't know how to handle it.
So they're crying out loud like a baby, and the
real danger is the lack of adherence to the Constitution.
Like inciting violence, like people forgot about what, I don't know, it was a year or two ago, the one that was shooting out other Republicans for the baseball game.
Oh yeah,
Scalise was
like a duck.
They don't even bring that up.
There's five or six of them got shot in Scalise.
Actually,
almost
that
died.
Did get brought up. I'm not going to remember who on one of the shows on the Patriot Channel.
That's our heard. No one brings up that.
But the mainstream media doesn't bring that one up too often, do they?
No. Well, the mainstream media wants you to hear the leftist narrative.
Sure. Well, there's the argument that the peaceful or peaceable actions get no results.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm just saying that there, you know, there's that argument, and therefore we need to scream louder.
But,
be heard.
But you see, the thing is this, and this is what's so important about the nature of our compound republic, is that it does not move quickly. Mm-hmm. It does not move with great passion. It moves in a consistent way, in a careful way, in a considerate way. If we want to think about democracies, pure democracies, democracies once upon a time was defined as four wolves and sheep and a sheep talking about what's for dinner. Okay? I mean, and that's a very fair representation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 50% plus one,
right.
And then the 50% plus one get to run ripshod over everybody else. That's not okay. That's not the nature of our republic. The problem is that we have a lot of problems. So one of the issues is that many of the people on the left is that they think that this is a democracy, and it's not. It's a compound republic with various checks and balances between states and the feds, within the federal level, within the states. We have all these checks and balances that our founding fathers put into place, this clock, this mechanism, so that the individual liberties of people before whoever it is they call God could be protected. And what is happening right now is that the people that are on the left, they're occupying the streets, they're clawing at the door, are saying, no, we don't want this. We want radical change. We want this to move fast. We want it to move with the speed of Twitter or social media. Can you think of anything more dangerous than a population, social policy, or the behaviors of a government changing with the whims and the breeze of social media? Can we think of anything more dangerous than that? But that is dangerous. What these people want, and the reason they want it is because they think that when the music stops, they're going to be sitting in a chair, and the rest of those crackhead, nut job, tea party dudes are going to be in the box. That's what they believe. And we need to address that and say, look, no, you're done. We're not going to allow this to occur. And again, not do what they do, but not yield one inch of ground to them in any way, shape, or form.
Jonathan, you looked like you were sitting on something there for a second.
I was. Originally, the comment was made, or the question was asked, what's happening when, you know, a group of people who are creating such havoc in an area are allowed to do so because the leader of the local government says to the law enforcement agencies, you have to step down. Mm-hmm. Now, my first question before I answer that is that how is it that the mayor himself, who's an elected official, isn't overridden by jurisprudence? In other words, when does a judge step in and say, mayor, you need to do your job or you're going to jail too? So that's kind of, there's a point there where at the leadership level, there's some challenges that need to be overcome. But I do understand what the challenge is where law enforcement is concerned now because of the history of law enforcement and what happens in retaliation. Being a former infantryman, I can tell you that at some point in time, when a certain amount of effort in the way of retaliation or control is affected, it gets violent and people get hurt and people get beat on too. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that if they've got a club in their hand and there is a platoon of police who are there in riot gear, they're gonna beat everybody down that's in the way so that they can bring peace to the area. That is the way things are done. That doesn't necessarily make it right, but that means that this is a formula that everybody understands. Force will be met with force.
And then the force would stop.
And that escalates in retaliation, then law enforcement will also escalate. Now, the problem with this is the backlash. Mm-hmm. We are so much more, as law enforcement or as civilians who are cooperating, doing whatever, even if we're just living our lives, if we respond with some level of force or an escalation of force, whether we're authorized as law enforcement or we're just protecting our homes, if the backlash and the retaliation has come to the point where we become this victim of the next level of backlash that is brought upon by all the liberal ideals. Because they say, see that guy? See him beat up on those poor little kids? Mm-hmm. See that guy? Well, there's one laying on the ground with a baseball bat. There's one's got a can of something in his hand that he sprayed. They broke all his windows, and he got out, and he proceeded to school every single one of them people because they tried to attack him, and he won. Well, guess what? What happens is he's standing over them, and they're saying, look at what Goliath did, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
look
I
what
agree.
Goliath did. And Goliath is wrong for retaliating these poor children, but the children are going around. They literally wasted thousands of dollars in personal property mm-hmm. as they travel down a road. They blocked a transitional area for vehicles, and, you know, they caused all this havoc, and the local citizens retaliated, but guess who's wrong? Guess who commits the crime?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, the one in second.
In a lot of the courts, the people who retaliate to these Antifa groups and these mm-hmm. ridiculous children that are really doing this, what ends up happening is they end up liable. So how is it, after a while, that local politicians, because they hear from everybody, okay, the mm-hmm. whole nation, you know, starts yelling at them, oh, you can't do that, you guys are bullies, and this and that, and this and that. But the reality is, all they were doing was defending themselves, right?
Right.
But conservatives are terrible at articulating the mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. They really are. They really are, because they say it should be enough to say that person was defending their property, defending their street, defending their neighbors, defending, and they were acting within the limits of the law, mm-hmm. and they met force with force, and somebody loses.
There are two business owners in Baltimore in jail today for using firearms to defend their storefronts.
That's my point exactly.
And that's so pathetically sad. Yeah.
How many times have you heard stories?
They didn't bring the weapons out until after their front windows were broken and people were walking off with their stuff.
Yeah. How many times have you heard of store owners or people who own personal property, defending that property, whether it's with a firearm or a baseball bat or a glass jar?
But you're also talking about people that are participating in these events that have personal and their own agendas. I happened to be last year downtown Chicago when a big march was going on, and I can't remember exactly what it was against because I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, because they didn't know.
Everybody's got different signs.
Every leftist organization in the city.
The thing is,
Michigan
is right
Avenue,
now,
State Street, all these streets were getting blocked off and marchers coming down, and everybody had a different sign for a different agenda.
Right. Yeah, it's the fear.
I don't get it.
It's the fear of social retaliation that has hobbled law enforcement, that has hobbled it. Combined with some of the mistakes that are made, I'm not saying law enforcement is always doing the right thing. I've seen far too many times in my own training, in my own experiences, where I just think to myself, why would you even think about doing that? The blowback on this is going to be terrible for the department.
But that's what we do. We manage to the lowest common denominator. That happens 1 out of 1,000 times, and then we stand down and let people destroy properly. What John said, we have to step up to this and take that, because otherwise they'll just keep doing it.
I want to talk about, Billy, you mentioned that this protest that you saw in downtown Chicago and that you couldn't figure out what it was about because there are a lot of signs and a lot of people, and it's like a quilt patch network of protests, right?
Yeah.
But the thing of it is this. I was listening to a program yesterday about feminism, and this one of the founding, modern founding individuals of feminism, she said that the cause has been hijacked, and it's been hijacked by the Marxists, and that this is all falling under, that now you have feminism that is being grouped together with global warming, is being grouped together with Black Lives Matter, is being grouped together with, you know, LGBTQ whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these groups and things are all being all into this big conglomeration.
It dilutes.
It doesn't dilute, it intensifies, and what they do is that it becomes a mob because there is no real central purpose except for power and subjugation of individual liberty. That becomes the mantra, as opposed to, hey, equal pay for women. That is not the issue with the people that are actually funding and running these protests. Paid protesters. It is about the subjugation of the individual, the stripping of liberty, and the actual influence and power over. For example, Pete, I sent an article to Peter this week in my effort to stoke him up and get him aggravated. And I hope I was at least somewhat successful.
You were. Congratulations, John.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm 48 and I finally found something I'm good at.
Aggravated Pete.
And so it was an article in National Review, and I can't remember the author, but he was referencing the writings of Alexander Hamilton, who basically said that in the around 1801, and things were really coming apart and things were really bad and all the rest of it, and Alexander Hamilton said, no, don't worry about it, because the only thing that has really ever united us was the fact that we make money off of one another. Well, now this is the issue, and I sent that to Peter because that was Alexander Hamilton's position at the time, but here's the issue. Now we have people, i.e. George Soros, mm-hmm. who he funnels his money offshore to organizations, and then they funnel it back into the country, and they fund these protests. Now you have people who are citizens of the United States who are funding and paying for these organized protests like you saw downtown Chicago, this conglomeration of ideas. It's really all about power and subjugating the individual before their God. That's all it's about. And so now you have people that are doing this, and I wonder to myself, how is this free speech? Why is this any different than yelling fire in a crowded theater? The Supreme Court has come down clearly. That is destructive speech because there's no inherent value in it. If someone wants to actually address an actual concern and actually do it in what a peaceable way, obtain the permits, obtain the licensing as you're supposed to from your local magistrate, mm-hmm. so to speak, then boom, you have the right to do it. But if you don't do it that way, then guess what? You have a problem. You shouldn't be allowed to do it. Now it's not peaceable.
Do you think they would be the media would be calling it a mob if the Tea Party blocked traffic?
Absolutely.
It just boggles my mind that I happen to get, you know, filth in my head and got a couple clips of CNN talking about how these aren't mobs. How dare you call these people mobs? They were like insulted. If Tea Party did exactly the same thing, they'd be calling them a lot worse than a mob.
And I want to be really clear about this. I don't agree with them. And I don't agree with their positions. I don't agree with their economic models. Right. I don't agree with their social models. I don't agree with how they regard the family unit. I don't agree with how it is they regard God and the existence of a deity. I don't exist with anything. But by gosh, they do have the freedom to say it in a reasonable, peaceable fashion.
In a non-destructive way for redress of grievances. Yes. In other words, if you don't have something to bitch about legitimately, you don't have the right to disrupt other stuff.
That's what liberals used to say. Liberals used to say, I don't agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death to allow you to say it. But that's long gone now.
Well, okay, the only interstate authority, I could be wrong here, but I believe the only interstate authority in enforcement of laws in general is the FBI, right? Isn't this true? The FBI reports the executive branch, right? As opposed to the Department of Justice.
Correct.
Right? The fact that the FBI has done nothing, I think, has some root cause in their highest leadership, which has been corrupted by an amazingly inept executive branch for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. There is inertia here. It takes a while to fix this. Mm-hmm. We don't even know who the bad guys are yet entirely, right? And it's going to be years to get there. But is there anything that we should be doing to help that along? They're doing stuff. They're doing the riots and making life miserable for
some
people.
We talked about this before. Conservatives don't fight.
Yeah.
They don't fight back.
No, they don't. And that's one of the reasons why that's part of the mantra of conservatives. Yeah. We're not concerned about listening to things that have no credence. It's not that we agree or disagree. They have no fact. There's no credence, so we move on. We work towards getting to the next level. I posted this recently. Conservatives spend their time working to get to the next level of professionalism, the next level of achievement, the next level of all things good in life, and they never quibble, they never argue, and they definitely don't say, oh, that's not fair. They don't waste any time on that.
Yeah, we don't do the whole that's not fair.
Yeah, they take care of their families, they take care of their houses and their lawns, and they take care of their business, and they take care of things. But what they don't do is throw rocks at somebody because they got something more than conservatives do. They don't say, well, it's not fair that this guy down here has a nicer car than I do. It's not fair that I'm only making $70,000 a year. They don't say that. I'm good, baby. They don't say those things. Mm-hmm. What they're spending more time doing for their families and themselves. Right. And the folks that are out there protesting, just exactly what are they accomplishing? What are their goals? What will they achieve? Let's say they get what they want.
Yeah, what is that?
Right?
Anarchy.
Yeah.
What is that?
Play the movie forward, right?
And that's the interesting part about it is they will always be there protesting because that's what they do. They're yelling and they're screaming and they're causing all these problems because all they want is the attention. If someone were to go out and say, okay, every single one of you, go home. We got this covered. We won. Do you think they're going to go home?
Nope.
No.
No,
They don't get paid if they go home.
There are a lot of people out there that are so ridiculously overwhelmed with their belief in their cause, especially, you know, a lot of the social activist people, the Greenpeace, you know, the folks that are looking for equal rights for non-gender. I apologize. I don't know all the letters of the thing.
Please don't apologize.
All those people that are, you know, it's not that I don't care. It's just
give them all 26 letters. It doesn't matter.
I believe in fairness and equality of all kinds. But what I don't believe in is someone shaking their fist at another person.
Right.
Okay. For those of you that don't know, I'm agnostic. I am not religious. Mm-hmm. But what I do believe in is faith. I do believe that everybody who strives lives to be better and is inspired by their God, I'm 100% behind that. I support it 110%, you know? But what I don't believe in is somebody walking into a store and blowing themselves up in the name of God.
Yeah.
So that notwithstanding, the thing is that what we have here in this country is what they believe is throwing a rock through that window and stealing from that business because it's their divine right or it's their right to be heard. That's what they're talking about when they're talking about the violence that ensues.
Go ahead and respond.
You made me think, how is it possible a person can actually believe there's 72 versions on the other side waiting for you? Seriously? Go blow yourself up.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's a different topic.
Yeah, that's belief. But, that's religion. Yeah, but, and, John, before you take off, what I want to say is... No. What you have just talked about... And what we're looking at, and what we started off with, the list of the headlines and such, mm-hmm. is when we see these actions being taken by these people who are protesting, they're throwing fits, and they're not. They have no intention of doing it in a peaceable way. And, of course, they are, who knew that being a protester would become a career option once you got out of high school one day. Or old enough to collect a check. Little different now, but yeah. But what is, to your point, as conservatives, we don't and historically haven't met that until pushed so incredibly hard, respond in kind. What right now is the line in the sand? Where are we going to see this line drawn? How much do we have to get to?
The line. The nature of conservatism versus the nature of a leftist is the nature of how they respond, and that is that, right, they like to scream and shout, and we just like to do. And there's a difference in that. It's not just that they have one position, we have another position, and we are emotionally expressive the same way or intellectually expressive the same way. That's not it. It's our values and our mindset changes and impacts how we express ourselves. Where that line is when we vote. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be really clear about this. It's so important that we remember that as those folks are out there screaming and hooting and hollering and making a big fuss about things, that they are showing themselves for who it is they are, and that the power is in the ballot box, in the republic at the ballot box when we go and vote. It's the same line that got drawn in the sand. When people said, no, I will not ordain another Bush to the White House, thank you very much, he will not be our nominee, was my position. I won't have another one. Because it's not because I didn't like him, it's because I don't want another coronation like it was with George H.W. Mm-hmm. or why it was with George W. I don't want this idea that, well, it's my turn.
No, it's Hillary's turn.
No, thank you, Mr. Dole. No, thank you, Mr. McCain. No, thank you, Mr. Romney. It is not your turn. Okay, it's that simple. But at the ballot box is where the line is drawn, and that's what gave us President Trump. And now these folks are so out of the woodwork that the mainstream, that middle 10-15% of the populace that is independent, air fingers quote, those are the ones that are in play. Maybe it's not even 10-15% anymore. Maybe it's not
doesn't
even that
need
much.
To be.
Doesn't need to be.
I think it's but a lot closer to 2.
I believe it. Okay. Right. But those are the folks now that are seeing this exposed hysteria, and hopefully, I pray to God that someone is saying to their young people as they're sitting there watching the news, saying, mm-hmm. "You know something, Johnny, Susie, that's not us.
Mm-hmm.
I voted Democrat all my life. That is not us. We do not do that. You will not conduct yourself that way. That is not acceptable."
We need mom and dad doing that because the media is not going to do that. If little Johnny's watching that news by himself, he's not getting that message. He's getting the message that these people deserve to do this.
Not only that, but they don't have the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the 60s when Martin Luther King was advocating civil rights.
There's a beautiful convention in Chicago.
There was a beautiful convention in Chicago. Okay, talk about police and acting against the mob and what happened there. Mm-hmm. Okay, the thing is that the you don't see the leadership of that caliber. Okay, you don't see a leadership of a Martin Luther King today.
No.
You don't see the leadership of someone on the, and I've said this before, where are the statesmen today? We don't have any statesmen. We're going to have statesmen that stand up and say, oh, get in that guy's face?
They can't. That's crazy. They can't get elected today.
That's absolutely crazy.
There's no money in it.
It's got nothing to do with money. It's got everything to do with power.
Exactly.
Money buys power.
Republicans hold office. Democrats hold power. Mm-hmm. That's what they're about. That's what leftists are about. That's what Marxists are about. It's about power and subjugation of the individual. And it's a broken record, but that's it. And money buys your way into that. The thing was great about Martin Luther King was he was not self-serving, quite the contrary.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
He was not self-serving at all. JFK, RFK, Martin Luther, maybe card-carrying Republicans today.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. I mean, that's how far this thing has gone. Mm-hmm. Where it is, you have people now, they're saying, you need to get in someone's face. You need to go ahead. Can you imagine a day and an age? I mean, could you have pictured this 5 years ago, 3 years ago? Where it is, you had people sitting in a restaurant with their family, with their wife, with their spouse, having a meal together, their kids, and people actually come up and harass them to a point where they need to vacate a restaurant and being chased out of a space of that nature. I cannot ever possibly imagine.
And then have major network people defend it.
Defend it. I mean, this is what happens. This is what
more people.
This is what happens in banana republics. This is what happens in Paraguay, in Uruguay, in Venezuela. This is what happens in Bolivia.
Yep.
This is what happens, I'm sorry, no I'm not, when you bring things from there to here, and you do, this here will start to look like there. Wilkow has said that countless times. If we do not, as a people, individually, regardless of where it is we come from, embrace the Constitution and the ideals of what those brilliant dead white guys put together in terms of this compound republic, if we do not start to embrace that, regardless of where we come
lose
from,
it.
We're going to lose it. And the problem is, it's not being enforced at the local level by the mayors. They are not mm-hmm. they are not seeing this as that they are an integral part of how this union functions, and they're just letting this stuff go.
And I that bothers me tremendously. I completely understand your point on what is the backlash going to be, or is the mayor condoning what they are doing, or is the mayor controlling probably something that could be much worse than the backlash? Mm. And in that situation, I'm not in the mayor's head.
Right.
I know that I am not a fan of what happened. I mean, for crying out loud, to John's point and everything else we've talked about here, you can't wear a stupid hat with the letters MAGA on them without someone assaulting you. cannot. I mean, this is ridiculous. I remember growing up in Kansas City. Oh, don't wear red in that neighborhood. Don't wear blue in that neighborhood because of the Crips and the Bloods way back then. That was in the 80s. And now you actually have people, you've got a guy's truck being set on fire because he had a Trump sticker on it.
Mm-hmm.
And someone scrawled Trump. And then when they called it in, the first words out of their mouth to 911 to, hey, we need a, got a little out of hand, we're burning a truck, fuck Trump. The words came, that was the first thing, not, hey, there's a truck on fire, we got a problem. 911 was, fuck Trump, by the way, we set this truck on fire, someone needs to come put it out.
Well, a couple things. First of all, the blue and the red wasn't the Crips and the Bloods. It was the Royals and the Cardinals. I just want to be clear. And the whole issue of... I grew up in that area, too. So
congratulations.
And the bad one was the red, the Cardinals.
It was.
Yes.
It was.
But your point about the potential backlash, and I'll bring it, everything we learned we knew by kindergarten, that's like saying, I'm not going to correct my child's bad behavior for fear that they might throw a hissy fit because I corrected their behavior.
Exactly.
That's how stupid.
Well, you could wind up getting arrested, too, if the kid,
That doesn't make it right. That just makes it logical.
Yeah, oh, it's not. I understand
it's
that.
It's logical right now.
But I don't believe any of those people. I don't believe any of those people are not enforcing it because they're worried about the backlash. I think they're not enforcing it because they are condoning it. When the mayor of Baltimore says, or the, I can't remember if the mayor or police chief said, give them space to do it.
That was the mayor, and she said they need to riot. Yeah. Give them the space to
they
do it.
They have every right to. They have, you know, that's you might as well just say they deserve to be able to do this.
And at some point in time, the chief of police would have to. I can't imagine it just blows my mind that the chief doesn't get up and say, you know what, Mr. Mayor or Madam Mayor?
Sorry.
I'll tell you what. We're going to go take care of this, and when we're done, we're going to go take care of this.
In almost
you didn't fire me, you fired
that's
me.
That's a misprision of office if I ever heard one.
Yeah. In almost all communities, the chief of police is appointed by the mayor.
Yep. Which is why they're the challenge for the chief. Yeah. Yeah.
And so now what we wind up, now what we have is that you have political leadership, regardless of whether they're actually in office or they're just, you know, at the top of the ticket, so to speak, Eric Holder, where they are now challenging and actually questioning the validity of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes
you see how this whole thing begins to crumble.
It kind of makes me think about what we can do in the way of a solution to the problem. And I mean, granted, we're a think tank, right? We're just sitting here thinking about thinking things through. Mm-hmm. And I automatically want to find a solution to this problem.
Well,
I think to myself, you know, especially protesters. Protesters don't think about cost-benefit analysis. Mm-hmm. Cost, you know, they don't talk. They don't think about sweat equity. They have none. You know, so how do we grind them down? Which is really the only way we can we can beat this, is to find a way to grind them down to a point where it's no longer interesting to them, because they're motivated by a couple of things. One, they're motivated by interest, and they may or may not be motivated by money. I wouldn't argue either way. But they're also motivated by the story. And the story is, do you have any idea how put down we are? Do you have any idea how generations of us have this or that or the other thing? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about that purple-haired, white, teenage boy or girl, pick your one. From a wealthy family, grew up in the suburbs. What the hell do they know about any type of strife at all?
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't get my Barbie bike when I was 15. Well, son, it's a problem.
It's a problem, yeah.
So the reality is all we have to do is find a way to wear them down. You know,
probably the first step, I think it's a multiple step, and I wouldn't know what the step two through whatever happened to be, but I do know the first step is, and then you got to starve it out financially. You got to pull,
Bingo. You got to pull
the money out of it.
Totally
you
agree.
You got to sanction individuals just like you would Iran, just like you would North Korea. They're an enemy of the state. This is not okay. This is the equivalent of screaming fire in a crowded theater, and we got to sanction you. We're going to starve this thing out, and that's the end of it.
So you start there.
It's not just starving out the Soroses or the people who back it and have all that money. That's a long process to starve out somebody like that.
Yes,
but you starve out the media, and it's not just financially. You hit them financially by holding them accountable.
Well, the way that works out is through advertisers, and the marketplace should bear that out, in which case you need to have people in corporate America that say, you know, I'm not okay with what it is you're doing, CNN. I'm not okay with what you're doing. Understand that, but when's the best time to plant a tree, Bill?
Twenty years ago.
The second best time is right now. So we want to talk about, well, that's a long process. Well, we didn't start yesterday. Better darn near start today. That'd be better than waiting till next week or next month or 2 years from now.
Totally agree.
I think part of our current president that I think brings us discomfort and joy at the same time is he is the first person that does what you just said, calls out the media. But look at all the heat he gets for it. But he's a bull in a china shop, but again, sometimes I think anybody else that's sitting, if somebody else on the Republican side would be sitting in his chair, they would be the soft toad and they would be all
politically correct. Can you imagine John Kasich in this position?
Yeah, they'd be all politically correct and we would be worse off heading towards this anarchy and things of that nature.
Agreed.
So it's such a contradiction sometimes.
But you see, the election of Trump is not the problem.
No,
the problem is that you had a populace within the United States of America that were brought to a point that they were so upset and so wrought with anxiety and frustration and not feeling that they had a voice that they voted for a guy,
of this nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I think that his policies are great. I think he's probably more constitutional than Ronald Reagan, for heaven's sakes.
I know, it is pretty crazy.
But the simple fact of the matter is that his bedside manner is awful.
Exactly.
And
he's a good doctor who has no bedside manner.
But Andrew Wilkow asked a great question yesterday, it was fascinating to me. He said, okay, if you had cancer and you had the choice between two doctors, and one doctor had a great bedside manner, was empathetic, cared about you, looked you in the eye, held your hand, sent you a card.
And you were going to die.
Versus the second doctor, who was the most obnoxious, arrogant, Dr. House, if you remember that program from Fox, okay?
That's my man.
Right? Okay? But the second guy was the best oncologist in the country. And
it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. And we voted for the oncologist that could save the country because we really were brought to the point, to Pete's point earlier, we were brought to a line in the sand where we think we didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. I was a Ted Cruz guy all the way. Yeah. And now, since again, eventually this thing has got to go back to the 10th Amendment. Mm-hmm. It has to. Otherwise, it's never going to survive. You want to live like you want to live, go to California or New York or Massachusetts. Me and mine, I'll go to Texas and I'll be okay, or Arizona. No problem. It has to get to that point. Otherwise, it's an all-or-nothing proposition.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the game they're playing. Well,
we would be in a lot more trouble right now and having a hugely different discussion if Hillary Clinton had been in office.
Oh, good God, sure. Yeah.
I mean, man. What things could be collapsing or falling apart economically, first of all,
I will tell you, Bill, to that point, the day after the election, I didn't know who won. And I very hesitantly turned the radio on in my car.
What am I going
to
hear?
Full well prepared to feel absolutely dejected in the announcement that Hillary had won and think, oh, my God, what are we in for? Mm-hmm. And after, you know, flipping through a few channels, after about 10, it took 10 to 15 minutes, I finally heard, and I'm like, oh, holy crap.
That's what a lot of people said, yeah.
You know,
I think the holy crap was a,
both sides. Maybe this is not going to be as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because, again, you know, when you go to the election, when you pull that, push the button now, it's all electronic. Yeah. But when you do that, the voting is, that's all of us getting to be in the position of making a hiring decision. And we, to John's point, we hired this guy not because he was the most eloquent and well-spoken candidate that walked in for the interview.
Who knew?
He was the guy who walked in and said, look, here's what I've done. Here's what I can do for you. What do you think? And you know what? Based on your record and based on what you've accomplished, we need that as a country.
And based on what these other turkeys have been doing.
And based on what these other people have been doing, and now we have other people saying, you know what, it's going to be more of the same. Isn't that great? No, it's not great. We're sick and tired of that. So, you know, boom, here goes the button. Now, again, I was more favorable of another candidate myself, but you know what? Boom, that's what I'm going to go with. And I'm happy with what he's accomplished so far. His bedside manner or demeanor leaves a lot to be desired, but I didn't hire him because he's all peaches and cream. I hired
certainly
him
not.
Because he can walk in with a ball bat and get stuff done. And I think that, again, my line in the sand is a lot different, I think, than other people's, but it's run completely
differently. You know, we're used to dealing with politicians, career politicians, their mentality, the way they their leadership, the way they express themselves and things. And what we did was we voted in a businessman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different, you know, we've come close in the past. Ross Perot, one example.
I actually voted for Ross.
I did too.
Perot.
So, did I. But, you know, it's
wait a minute.
You know, we felt collectively that there was a need to get down to business.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the impetus for a lot of people voting for him, too.
Yeah.
Was the fact that, you know, I mean, Hillary Clinton, in so many ways, is the ultimate politician. And the media defended her. They propped her up. They actually advertised for her in everything that happened. Mm-hmm. No matter what she did, every time she messed something up, they covered it up real nice and clean. Mm-hmm. Whenever she did something great, they had it on the news for weeks. in the news cycle.
Sure.
They never do anything like that.
Well, it wasn't that often she did something great, so they had to stretch it out.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's been a hero, if you didn't know any better, she's been a hero of the state of New York for the last 5 years. And I don't think she's been in office that long. So anyway,
she's not in office right now.
Exactly.
And she's
still
off acting on, apparently, the behalf of, in her mind, the behalf of the United States,
mm-hmm.
going out and talking to, you know, people in other countries, and
according
of course,
media.
You know, and the
she's
Daily
the brilliant
Mail.
Statesman.
Remember how how awful Donald Trump was going to be if he didn't accept the results of the election?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Her words. And now, but again, you get back to that whole Marxist concept of accuse other people of what you are doing.
When she was promoting her book, I watched an interview with her just to see what she was going to have to say. And she almost literally said she stayed at home and pouted for weeks after the election.
Which makes her a hero.
Oh, darn. But, you know, hey, a self-pity party
going back to that childish part of being in it.
Those
liberals.
Yeah, we've all been there.
And sure, you've never heard her say it was her fault she lost the election.
No.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say earlier, on they were talking about starving out the people, look what they did in, 2010-11, where the IRS was knocking out taxes for right groups.
Yep.
You know, for they could raise money, not pay taxes.
Right.
And the other one with them not agreeing with the vote, they're like, well, with the popular vote, Hillary had more people than thing. They didn't understand the whole electoral system, how the checks and balances.
Yeah, and remember how those people that were doing that in the IRS went to jail? Oh, that's right.
Oh,
nobody did. Yeah, that's right.
They're still trying to find those emails.
Yeah.
And you're saying that's really the issue, is that that electoral college is what protects protects the individual. If not for that, again, it's four wolves in a lamb. What's for dinner?
Yeah, our metropolitan areas will determine who's who holds office, and that would be.
And there are some people. Some people that really believe that that's the way that it ought to be. And I mean, for example, why did Hillary Clinton? I don't remember. Hillary Clinton's not from New York.
She's not from New York.
She's from Illinois, or whatever it was, and then she marries Bill, and they're in Arkansas, and they go to Washington and do what they do there. And then she moves to New York for one very simple reason, the political calculation of those electoral college votes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's it. And so, I mean, come on, who are we hosing here? But this is the nature of the person that we're dealing with, self-serving. And it's not just her, but it's the whole political class.
Yep.
I don't think, Pete, your program here would be complete unless I use the word oligarchy.
You got to get it in.
Thank you. But that is exactly.
I think I need to go back and count all the times that word has been used.
If you wouldn't give me $5, that would be swell. Whether it's Hillary or whether it's Kasich or whether it's the Bushes, it's the oligarchy, the people in power, the people that have been doing this for decades and decades, and the people that the affected class, the middle class, the people that take care of their lawns, pay their taxes, raise their kids. You know, whether you go to church or go to a soccer game, it don't make any difference. But those people that are doing their jobs day to day, living their lives, they're the ones that have been paying the bills. Not the people that are your Hollywood types living in your gated communities, your oligarchy of media, entertainment, and politicians. Not your unaffected class, the people that are getting money off the dole, whether it's at the state or the federal level. It's the people in the middle that are getting crushed.
And the people in the middle are tired of
that. I was thinking the movie Hunger Games.
We're coming up on about 8 minutes left. And Wayne, I know that initially you said that you would like to sit and listen.
I feel bad.
After about 52 minutes, do you have any thoughts you want to share? I know your eyes are real big. And
I mean, there's just so much going on, I don't even know what to say about it.
Yeah, it's hard to
honest to God, this country's it's scary, and at the same time, it's blowing off steam the way that democracy does. So it's not pretty. It's always messy. Everyone wants it to be nice and peaceful, but you don't, guess what? You don't exercise demons in a nice, clean environment. It's messy. Mm-hmm. So what's going on with Trump? Yeah, I don't. And the country right now, I mean, we have a... Yeah, there's a reaction. For every action, there's a reaction. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be done in a nice, civil way when you're dealing... Look, we're not dealing with liberals.
No.
There's more classic liberalism in this room
than
exists in the entire Democratic Party right now.
Here, here.
That's a truth.
I agree with 100%.
Okay, we're dealing with leftists that do anything ends justify the means leftists. So it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to get better. it's going to get worse.
Yeah. What's the saying?
Hopefully, cool heads
prevail. We'll get the
government
we deserve.
And we do hold on to these truths that are self-evident, and mm-hmm. we can self-govern ourselves, and we can take the temper tantrum from our children, even though there's a lot of them, and we can do it in a civil way, and the good guys will win in the end, but there's going to be wins and losses along the way, and how the other side reacts is going to determine where the country goes. Unfortunately, we know how they're going to react. They're never going to react like patriots. They're never going to react in a responsible way, because they're not.
Correct.
So,
you know, maybe that's the answer. You mentioned it earlier, you know, when somebody like a Taylor Swift, something, you just kind of, oh, that's funny. I said, you know what we should do? We always ask, what can we do? When we see a leftist throwing a temper tantrum, just go pat him on the head. Say, there.
They didn't get charged with assault.
No, that's true.
No, they're initiating physical contact.
Good point.
So.
Well, yeah.
And you might
air,
as well
air, him. Air. Tapped him on the forehead.
So don't tap him.
There.
Or back when the church lady, well, isn't that special?
Isn't that special? Yeah.
Wait, where do you run out of Pampers?
yeah. When you.
But Wayne, I agree with you quite heavily on the fact that I've said this before. It's going to get way worse before.
Yeah, you've been pessimistic in that regard.
I am extremely pessimistic in that regard.
Hard to argue.
And
that.
I don't think we're going to get out of this in a pretty fashion. I don't think cooler heads will.
I think someone like Rand Paul said it. He thinks somebody's going to get killed pretty soon.
It's
if it doesn't get reined in, somebody will. Steve Scalise almost did die.
You know, it's going to get way uglier before. It gets better.
I wonder if somebody, something like that,
and I don't want
dies,
that.
Will,
not,
will the Democrats step up then?
So,
not
so,
a singular
so,
person.
No. So here's the rhetorical question, is what happens in the midterm elections coming up if the Republicans actually gain ground?
Oh, they'll lose their mind even more.
Something will intensify even more.
Well, you see what I'm saying, though, is that, again, it comes back to an intellectual, emotional, constitutional referendum on the behaviors of the left.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is not who we are. This is not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere down the line, there are a lot of ways this thing could break, but I don't think that the left is gaining territory with these behaviors.
You wouldn't think.
I don't see any way in the world that they are. But then again, I'm looking at this through my lenses as a reasoned individual. I can't possibly imagine that anyone would look and say, that's what I'm talking about. I want some more of that car burning thing because of a bumper sticker. Are you out of your mind?
There's a lot of them out there, though, John.
Now you're talking about educational levels and raising and how you were raised.
Yeah.
I have a number of friends who are Democrats who have a history of, you know, voting that way and so forth, who are embarrassed for their identified
I hope so.
Group.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
It's been popping up the last month or so. The volume of how of occurrence of these conversations is growing kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, the killer, though, is these folks who are embarrassed for their own party are all pretty well educated,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of grown up folks, and well said about liberalism.
They were liberals, not leftists.
Yes, I'm here to tell you the great majority of things in the world these two ladies and I agree on. The basic differences we come to is how to pay for it,
right.
Mm-hmm. Or if you can pay for it, is that cost productive? It's pretty, mm-hmm. you know. But so I'm a fiscal conservative, and they are fiscal. Let's kind of go for it when in doubt, people. But the rest of it, they don't subscribe to this leftist thing, and they resent being included.
Mm-hmm.
In that group.
Don't put me in that group. Yeah.
And for this personal experience I've had in these last couple of conversations, I'm starting to really believe, and it's a wonderful feeling, I'm really starting to believe that the abominable behavior in the Kavanaugh process really cost them a ton of votes.
Well, it's like, who was it that said that's the only thing, that's what brought Republicans together?
Well, yeah.
Better than any Republican could was that whole fiasco. Well,
better that than a war.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Reagan, Kirkpatrick, Bennett, three stalwart Republicans, all three of whom were Democrats at one point, and their party left them. That may be the thing that's happening with the people, Ken, that you're having these conversations with. The party has finally left them, and who knows where they'll land.
That's, yeah. And that's going to be very interesting to see come November. It really is. Ken, go ahead and say something real quick, and
last,
then I want to wrap up.
Last thought, I think we are making normal progress in the right direction. People are voting with their money by moving out or moving in. Okay? People that want to get to the lefty thing, they tend to go to the left coast, right? Mm-hmm. People that don't want to do that are going to Oklahoma and Texas and, you know, places like that. And if you look at the people who are populating Texas from the rest of the country right now, they are highly educated, money-making capitalists, our kind of people.
You know what's funny? What's funny is, though, is that the people that are moving out of California right now, they don't want the leftist policies, and then they go to places like Colorado, and then they create them all over again.
Sometimes make the same mistake. Yeah.
So quit making the same mistakes, folks. Yep. And I will just simply say, November, go vote.
Mm-hmm. I hope, take all your friends.
I hope you vote. I truly hope the vote falls to the right, because I sincerely believe that that's the way that goes. But no matter what, just go exercise your right as a citizen of the United States, please, and do that. And that is where I want to wrap things up. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Golf clap.
We can do a golf clap today. I'm not feeling a round of applause. Yeah. But there we go. Guys, number 40 wrapped up in the can.